Lord, as we prepare for this sermon and for the reading of the Word, we ask once again that you will clear away any distractions that may be bound up inside of us, that our heart's focus and our mind's focus will be on you and the movement of your Spirit, as your Spirit seeks to touch us, convict us, reveal truth to us. We ask that you bless this time that we have in the presence of that Spirit. We ask that you bless the reading of the Word, these ancient stories that were told and written so long ago that even though they are old by men's standards, Lord, they are still relevant for us today, and we ask that you make them come alive for us at this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the Word. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verses 20 through 23. Then King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, prayed because of this and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who cut off all the mighty warriors and commanders and officers in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned in disgrace to his own land. When he came into the house of his God, some of his own sons struck him down with their sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of King Sennacherib of Assyria and from the hand of all his enemies. He gave them rest on every side. Many brought gifts to the Lord in Jerusalem and precious things to King Hezekiah of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations from that time onward. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We've been going through this series on the obscure kings, and before that we did a series on the obscure judges, and before that we did a series on creation and Genesis. And so, as you probably noticed, we've been spending a lot of time in the Old Testament, and this will continue going forward for the next few months. And what I've found really interesting in doing this and in studying these scriptures and preparing for these sermons is that the Old Testament, as neglected as some of the parts of it are, as obscure as some of it is, it really is. It's amazing how relevant some of the themes are. And if you're picking up on the themes of some of the last several series, there's been themes of hope, themes of redemption, themes of repentance, all of these things that we normally associate with the gospel message and New Testament teachings. And we're starting to see that it's really throughout the entire Bible, even in some of these more obscure passages. So that brings us to the second to last week of this series on the kings. And this week we're going to talk again about Hezekiah. This is our second week talking about Hezekiah. And you may wonder, why would we spend 2 weeks talking about him? And I think that it's because Hezekiah features prominently, at least in the role of the lesser known kings, or should I say the kings who are not David and Solomon. And in fact, Hezekiah is spoken of in the book of 2 Kings, the book of 2 Chronicles, and even in the book of Isaiah. So he features prominently, and the reason I believe is because he is a great testament of faith. Now, in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 goes through what some people call the Faith Hall of Fame, and he talks about Abel and Noah and Moses and Abraham. And he just goes through the Old Testament talking about all these heroes of faith and the example that they have left for us. Now, one of the names he does not mention is Hezekiah. But if this truly is a Hall of Fame, I would like to add his name to the ballot. I think that he should be mentioned in the Hall of Fame of faith, because he was a hero of faith, not just for his immediate circle, but for a whole nation. Now, if you'll recall, the tribes of Israel, they split into two kingdoms. And there was the northern kingdom of Israel, and then there was the southern kingdom of Judah, which was Jerusalem and just that area surrounding Jerusalem right there. And the past few weeks, we've been talking more about the southern kingdom, and that's where Hezekiah was. He was the king of Judah and the southern kingdom. Now, his testament of faith is really important here, basically because of what was going on with at the time with the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria, Sennacherib, he was oppressing other nations. He was heavily taxing them, imposing his will on them, and most of them were just sort of rolling over and letting him have his way with them. And Hezekiah, what he did was, in the early part, he was complying, or at least acting like he was going to comply. But Hezekiah fortified the city. He built up these strong walls. He put guards on the walls. He started building tunnels and canals in the city, and basically built an underground fort there in Jerusalem. And once he had all of those preparations in place, then he decided to take a stand against this king of Assyria, and he said, okay, we're not going to do what you tell us to do. We're not going to let you impose this foreign tax on us. So as you can imagine, Sennacherib from Assyria, he was very angry about this, and he said, okay, well, then it's time to go to war over this. So what he did at first was he would have his men, his soldiers, catapult these rocks over the walls into the city of Jerusalem. And on these rocks were messages written, you better do what we say or you're going to get it. You don't know what you're in for. We're coming at you. All these threatening messages. Now, if that sounds familiar to you, that's because it still goes on today. You think about these terrorist groups who release these videos and their threats. They commit these terrible acts of violence, and they always contain some message that's supposed to instill fear in us. And it's very easy to become fearful, to become anxious. And that's what they want. And it would have been easy for the people of Israel to become fearful. Or the people of Judah, excuse me, to become fearful. But they weren't. And the reason they weren't was because Hezekiah told them, relax, as long as we serve God and we trust God, put our faith in Him, they can't do anything to us. Because God is greater than any enemy that can rise up against us. Now, that almost kind of acts as a prophecy to what John would say years and years later in the book of 1 John. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, chapter 4, he says, greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. And this was essentially what Hezekiah was telling them long, long before John ever said it. If we serve God, if we put our faith and our hope in him, we're going to be okay. No one can rise against us. And so the people of Judah, they believed that. They saw Hezekiah modeling his faith for them. And so these threats, they weren't working. King of Assyria got mad and he decided to launch in a new message. He put a bounty on Hezekiah's head. And he basically said, okay, it's going to cost me so much to come in and attack your city. Now I'm willing to take half of that cost and give it to anyone who will bring me Hezekiah, dead or alive. They launched that message over there into Jerusalem. Now what Hezekiah did, and Isaiah, who was the prophet at the time, they took that rock, they took that message, they went into the temple, and they prayed. They gave it to God, and they prayed. And they asked for deliverance. They did not preach fear. They did not take comfort in knowing that their military was strong or they had the underground tunnels. They did all of that as a precautionary thing, and that's great. But really what it came down to was they prayed. They gave it to God. And so then what happened was God intervened in a big way. He wiped out the Assyrian army through illness. Not through engaging in combat, not through anything like that. They got sick and they started to die off. So that then the Assyrians had to retreat. And the Assyrian king went back home, and he was hated so much by his own people that they killed him. That's how God worked. It wasn't through the strength of the military. It wasn't through the fortified city. It wasn't through the underground hideouts. It was through his own intervention, because Hezekiah and Isaiah got down on their knees and asked for deliverance. For all of the preparations that we make, for all of the things that we take comfort in, nothing can save us except for God, except for Him delivering us, because we have put our faith and our trust in Him. Now, some people would say that our future is up in the air. We can never tell what's going to happen. And then some people would say that our future is already set. Some people call it fate. Some people call it destiny. We believe that God is in control of what happens, but we also believe that He has given us free will. So in other words, we kind of believe both of those things, and that they work together as long as we are surrendering our will to the Lord. Claire and I watched Forrest Gump this weekend. For the first time in many, many years, I watched that movie. And it's funny how when you go back and you watch a movie again that you haven't seen in a long time, different things stand out to you, or different things make an impression on you. And there's this one scene right there towards the end of the movie where he's talking at Jenny's grave. And I'm sorry if this spoils it for anyone, but you've had years to see this by now. But he's talking at Jenny's grave, and he's talking about destiny. And he says that sometimes he wonders if we're just floating on the wind and everything's random. And then other times he wonders if there's a set destiny. And then he says, I think it's both. And that seems like a contradiction, but it's absolutely true. And in the movie, it begins and it ends with this feather floating on the breeze. And it seems random as the feather is carried in the wind and it floats this way and that way. And although it seems random, in the end, it lands right at Forrest Gump's feet. So even the things that seem haphazard and chaotic, and we can't tell where the future is going, if we put our trust in the one who is blowing the wind, who is causing the wind, things will still wind up the way He intends for them to. But it takes faith, and it takes putting that faith into practice. Some of you know this story. I think I've told it before. When I was a child, 21 months old, I had a ruptured appendix. And it went misdiagnosed. The doctors didn't know that's what was wrong with me. They thought maybe it was a stomach virus. But what happened was it wound up becoming infected. And I developed peritonitis and basically went into septic shock. So then I had to go into the hospital, and I was there in ICU, and I stopped breathing on the operating table. And the doctors told my parents that there was probably no way that I was going to survive. And the men from the church came and gathered around my bed in the wee hours of the morning, and they joined hands and they prayed for me. And for whatever reason, God decided to spare my life. I'm glad He did. But I grew up hearing from my parents, God has a special plan for you. God has a purpose for you. Now, you want to make an impact on a child, tell them that. I don't think enough children hear that growing up. Because God has a special plan for all of us. It's just a matter of whether or not we realize that, whether or not we have the faith to believe that, and then to live out that faith and surrender. My parents told me that, and so I grew up believing, yes, God has a plan for me. But it wasn't enough just for them to say that. The reason I really believed it was because I had heard and I knew about the men who prayed for me. I grew up in a home where I saw people pray. I grew up in a church where I saw people give their cares and concerns to the Lord, to turn them over in that way. And that made an impression. You see, faith is contagious. And the more we live it out, the more we surrender to the Lord, the more other people see that act of surrender, they buy into it too. It's contagious. That's what happened with the people of Judah. They saw Hezekiah put his trust in the Lord. And so that's where their trust was put as well. And he could take precautionary measures. He could be wise and he could do all these things. But in the end, those weren't the things that saved them. It was God. We can put our trust in the Constitution or in the military or anything like that. But in the end, that's not going to be what saves us. That's not what's going to free us from the evils of the world. It's going to be God's intervention. And he intervenes when we put our trust and our hope in him. Trusting God means that we turn our future over, our plans, our dreams, even our wills. And sometimes it may feel like we're just chaotically blowing on the breeze. But when we feel that way, we know that we are putting our trust in the one who causes those winds to blow. Let us put our trust in him for our deliverance. Let us pray. Lord, we confess to you that so often we put our trust in other things, in our own intelligence, in our nation, in our politicians, in so many things. But really, Lord, what it comes down to is to survive this world, we have to put our faith and our trust in you. We thank you for the testimony of faith handed down to us by people like Hezekiah. We thank you for their testimony in the scriptures, for their witness to the people in their time and in our time. We ask that you help us take a page from their book to lean on you for understanding and for deliverance always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.